Before you enter the museum, look up at the building, preferably from across Fifth Avenue. Imagine that you are a citizen of ancient Rome about to enter this public building. What features make it seem grand and imposing? In your notebook, jot down three such features. Listen to the music as you do so. Note how symmetrical the building is. Note the long, broad stairs inviting you in, but they also elevate the entrance above you. Note the many elaborate columns to left and right, and the plainer columns on each side of the entrance. Note the long side galleries to left and right. Their upper stories are supported by female statues called caryatids. Note the many crowned heads decorating the roofline. Finally, note the contrast between the grand building and the many sidewalk vendors. There were vendors also around the public buildings of ancient Rome. Now, walk up the many steps and into the central hall. Your bag will be searched when you enter. After this, check your coat if you want to. Then, stand in the center of the hall and consider the architecture. Note its height, the three domes admitting light in the middle like the Pantheon in Rome. Find the semicircular vaults over the balconies and the big niches in the wall for giant displays of flowers. Note the great staircase at the back. The museum building flaunts its grandeur, wealth, and power even before you see a single work of art. But it is a public building, and you are welcome to enter in and see the art treasures it contains. These impressions are similar to those you would have felt if you were a citizen of ancient Rome and had walked into the Forum of Augustus, for example, or the public baths of Nero, or the Theater of Pompey. Augustus Caesar, even as a young man, was aware of the importance of appearances. Rome should look like the center of an empire, and he himself should look like its leader. Over his first 20 years as princeps, or first citizen, he himself built, or persuaded his supporters to build, many impressive public structures covered in marble. His building program was so extensive that they say he found Rome a city of brick and left her a city of marble. Rome, like this grand museum, now began to look like the center of a world empire. Many American public buildings in the late 19th and early 20th centuries were constructed like this museum in classical style. The New York Public Library on 42nd Street, the Stock Exchange on Wall Street, and the museums in Boston and Philadelphia are other examples. It's as if Americans were using classical architecture to make a connection to the values of the Roman Republic and before it to the values of Athenian democracy. These buildings suggest that those ancient classical ideals have found a new home in the new world. Now, get your admission button. Pay no more than $1 or $2. As a Roman citizen, you could have entered any public building for free. Then, walk to the Roman art galleries. To do this, turn left from the main entrance and walk through the central hall of the Greek art galleries, which are filled with statuary. Most of the sculptures in this hall are Roman copies of lost Greek originals. Rome looked back to Greek culture in admiration and imitation, much as we look back to ancient Rome. This hall is also filled with light from the magnificent vaulted ceiling above. Again, the architecture is grand and light-filled. Look around as you walk through this corridor. Note some aspects of Greek sculptural style. The marble statues of males are nude, while the females are clothed. The faces are calm, youthful, and ideally beautiful, and the bodies are also ideal and perfect. Walk to the end of this corridor to the top and bottom of a huge column in the center. Turn left at this column and walk toward the bank of elevators. Just before the elevators and stairs, stop at the last marble head on your left. This sculpture is a marble head of a youth on a small stand called a pedestal. It is number L2007.25.2. Look for the numbers of the objects inside parentheses after the object's titles. This sculpture is typical of busts made after the fabulous military career and early death of Alexander the Great. It imitates his look. The face has the sort of youthful, idealized beauty of the earlier statues in the corridor you just left. But note the tousled curls of his hair, his gaze into the distance, and his rather strained mouth. These all suggest the restless energy of Alexander. Alexander died young in 323 BC. His generals then divided up his empire in the eastern Mediterranean into rich, powerful kingdoms. The 300 years after his death is called Hellenistic. Augustus imitated the rich and powerful Hellenistic kings when he too acquired similar wealth and power. Look again at this Hellenistic head. How old does this man seem to be? What character traits does this sculpture suggest he possessed? That is, what sort of person does he seem to be? Jot down your answers in your notebook, and then turn to track 3.